Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
Psalm 103 is where we're going to be today. To all of you watching at home today, we're really glad to have you as well. I know we have a lot of people who watch online every single Sunday, and we are glad that you have adjusted your schedule to do that as well. We've for 3 weeks now, we've walked through Psalm 103. This is the last message in the series. So we will have spent an entire month in this chapter of the Bible, which is, I hope it's meant a lot to your heart. I hope you never read Psalm 103 in the same way. And we're going to wrap this up today. And I'm going to actually preach on one verse of the last four verses. And yet, here's what you'll realize is that verse 19, I'm going to preach on, the last three verses are a response to verse 19. And that'll make sense here as we go on. But if you missed the first couple weeks here, we have preached through the first 18 verses of this great chapter of the Bible. We've talked about how God is the God of our benefit, that he forgives our iniquity, he heals diseases, he redeems us from the pit. We've learned how he is the God who pardons us. He does not hold our sin against us. Anybody else grateful for that today? I was just reminded of that as we worshiped together this morning. Of like, man, I'm just in need of the mercy of God in my own life. Last week, we learned how he's the God of compassion. He remembers that we are but dust. God forms us from dust. We return to dust, and he remembers that we are just merely people of dust. Today, I'm not sure that I could give you a greater message or a greater theme to end this series on than what we're going to end it on today, and that is that God is a God who rules over all. And not only is he a God who rules over all, but he is a king who rules over all. So let me just begin reading verse 19. Here's what the Bible says, Psalm 103. It says, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all." That's what we're going to talk about today. Everybody ready for that? Now, there's real value in stopping and reading the Word of God again and reading it slowly. So I would encourage you, when you are alone at home reading the Word of God, read it normal speed and then slow the thing down and read it again, okay? So listen to the way that I'm reading the Word of God and look at the emphasis that happens when you read it in this way. The Lord. It's a great way to start a Bible verse, by the way. The Lord has established his throne, where? In the heavens. And his kingdom rules over all. See the difference when you read it like that? What does it mean that the Lord has established his king, his kingdom or his throne in the heavens? Matthew Henry simply writes it this way. He says, "He who made all rules all." He who made all rules all. Now, just for illustration's sake, let's imagine that we had a giant throne up there by the back screen today, okay? It's a little bit hard for us to imagine a king on a throne because we have a president, so we don't have that same kind of monarchy thing, even though you see it in the movies from time to time. We have a president who is held accountable by the people. If the country doesn't like what that president is doing, then the country votes out that president, right? A king is entirely different. And I would tell you that God is entirely different as king. He is held accountable by no one because he rules perfectly in righteousness. He is seated on a throne, and that throne is a sign of power, of majesty, and authority. If we were all sitting in here and there was a real king sitting on a throne, we would all kind of recognize together, okay, that's a dude in authority, or that's a queen in authority, and they rule the kingdom. And we would recognize the majesty of that. Maybe there were trumpets that played them in as they sat down, or we would recognize their royal robes and stuff. We'd recognize their authority in the room. In the world, we look to the heavens with God upon the throne, and we recognize together as a church that he rules over all. And that is the message of the rest of the message, okay? Like, if you want to leave now, you can leave, because that's what I'm going to say over and over and over again for the next 20 minutes, all right? He is a king, and he rules over all. Now, we don't often think about it this way, but God could have put his throne in any city in the world. Did you think about that? He could have put it in Dallas. Everything's bigger in Dallas, right? He could have put it in London, could have put it in a New York City or a Moscow or a Hong Kong, could have put it in Lowell. Anybody live in Lowell? But God put it where? In the heavens, his dwelling place. This signifies that God is the ruler over all things. Now, we think about the world as a massive place that I would guess that every person in within sound of my voice today will never visit every country in our own planet. Okay, like we're one planet in a galaxy. And if we think about the world, if you've ever like flown overnight on a flight and you're like driving yourself crazy at 2 a.m. and you're walking, you're pacing the aisles because you can't sit still. And you thought, that was the worst thing ever, that 10 or 12 hour flight. And you just flew like maybe a third or halfway across the world. You get a sense of the authority and majesty of God, that he is a king who rules over the earth as if the earth is his footstool. We're dealing with an entirely different kind of king. He is unlike every king on earth. Now, you may have recognized back in May, we kind of had a historical event. May 6th, King Charles had his coronation to symbolize his taking over the throne as the King of England. Anybody watch the coronation, by the way? Okay, not big British fans in here. Okay. I don't know about you. I love all things British, okay? I really do. I read a book on the new king in January. I read Prince Harry's memoir this summer. I have opinions, but they're not for here, okay? I like Harry, okay? London is my favorite city in the world. If you've never been to London, it's a life goal for you, okay? You will walk down the street. I went at Christmas time, like early December, and so there's lights everywhere, so we would walk down one street, and my mouth is, ah, and then you turn the corner, and you're like, ah, it's just amazing. Like, every corner is something different, and architecture just crazy, and so I'm all in, okay? I love all the pomp and circumstance. Meredith and I are all in. We watch Downton, you know what I'm saying? We've watched all the British stuff. We're all in for. We have been to the gates of Buckingham Palace. We have toured Windsor Castle. When I say we're in, we're in. Okay, we're in. Maybe that was a bad. It's not in the notes. It shouldn't have gone there. Just that was a bad accent. We'll move on. Okay, we have seen both on TV and we have seen in person the majesty of the kingdom of England, or really the United Kingdom. And yet King Charles, who was just, you know, had his coronation as the king, his kingdom has a limit. And our king has no limit. You see, Psalm 103 teaches us that the Lord establishes his throne not in a city, but in the heavens. And in that heaven, he rules over the earth, over every earthly ruler. That's why he is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I went to college at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. There are people from all over the country that go to Liberty. My wife was from Florida, and so we kind of met up in Virginia. And we got married shortly after we graduated. Meredith, she describes Arkansas. She said, I just knew that it was in the middle. Okay? By the way, that's how the rest of the country feels about us. We're just in the middle. Okay? But we met in Virginia. Virginia's an odd place. I don't know if you've ever lived in Virginia or visited Virginia. They think they're Southern. They ain't Southern. Okay? Some people think it's the north. It's really not northern as well. It's just kind of its own thing. And so that, you know, living in Virginia was a different thing altogether. But I was going to Liberty to get a Bible degree. And so I'll never forget, and some of you have heard me tell this story before, so it's you're going to recognize it when I tell it to you. But I was in my favorite class that I took throughout my time at Liberty. It was a class called the Book of Acts. And it was just a class where we walked through the Book of Acts. and a professor by the name of Dr. Don Fowler gave us the class. Don Fowler looks like the policeman in the old Halloween movies. If you remember that guy, like bald and has the crazy gun, you know, that's my professor, okay? And so Don Fowler, I can remember one day in class, he said something to the effect of, what do you think the theme of the Bible is? It's a fair question for a group of people who are going to go preach the gospel, right? You can imagine what people were thinking on that day. The love of God. That's the theme of the Bible. Or even the gospel. Maybe that's the theme of the Bible. Or Jesus. Because it's always the right answer in a Bible class, right? And he said on that day something I've never forgotten. He said the theme of the Bible is kingship. And I can remember being puzzled on that day, and even all these years later, I still don't know that I fully even agree with that statement, but I would say in light of Psalm 103, maybe he's right. Think about it. We worship a king who has no beginning, who has always been. We serve a king who, at the sound of his voice, created the earth and everything that's within it. Created every mountain, every hill, every valley, every lake, every ocean, every creek bed. He created every single person here and in the lobby today and watching at home today. He created you exactly as you are, exactly the way you look. Your personality, all created by a king who rules over all. Maybe my professor was right after all. Psalm 103 seems to teach us this idea again and again and again, that he's created the world, everything in it. His kingdom is in the heavens. And just, again, look at that last phrase here. And his kingdom rules over all. You say, well, Nick, what does it mean when the Bible says that his kingdom rules over all? Here's what it means. It means that his kingdom rules over all. That's what it means. Let me help define this in a little bit of a different way, okay? If you're taking notes, these are some great things to write down just to help you learn the passage here. Number one, God rules over the world even when it seems chaotic. Anybody else look at the world right now and think it's a little chaotic? Man, you watch, an hour of the nightly news and you're like, man, this is horrible. This is horrible. We've said this in recent months. You look at stuff like Russia and Ukraine, you say, well, God, where are you? You look at people who live in brutal regimes like North Korea and other places around the world, and you think to yourself, well, God, where are you? You think through wicked, vile, ruthless people who enslave people in all kinds of trafficking around the world, and it's a logical question to say, well, God, where in the world are you? In case you have not noticed yet, we are about a year away from another presidential election. Anybody picked up on that yet? It's kind of in the news here and there a little bit right now. You want me to give you a prediction of what's going to happen next year? Over the next 12 months, you want me to give the prediction? This is why you come to church for this kind of stuff right here. Here's the prediction. People are going to lose their ever-loving minds over the next 12 months. That's what's going to happen. Bank on it. Can we commit together at the Fayetteville campus? Can we commit together that we will not lose our minds over the next 12 months? Everybody raise your right hand. I'm just kidding. We won't do that, okay? The truth of Psalm 103 should calm us before we ever get to next November. Okay? Before the chaos and during the chaos. So don't let the media get your heart unsettled when you're tempted to freak out because your preferred candidate did or said this, or the other candidate did or said this, or the media has betrayed them to do or say this. Let me just encourage you here. This is the truth of Psalm 103 as it relates to politics. We are of a different kingdom. And our king rules over all. Now, the next series of messages that we're going to start, the 24th, one of those messages will be entirely what I just talked about in the last 2 minutes, of how do we operate together as the people of God and the kingdom of God with this thing called politics. Okay? How you like them apples? It's going to be great. Okay? Let me make this personal. Beyond just God rules over all to God rules over the world, even when it seems chaotic. Let me make this personal to your own life today, okay? As we drill down into verse 19, here's some takeaways for us. God rules over your own life, even when it seems chaotic. So he rules over more than just the world, but he's a personal God, and he rules over your life, even when it seems chaotic. Anybody else's life seem chaotic at times? You ever wonder if you can hold it all together? You feel that you're at your breaking point today? Some of you, I can just imagine your eyes are filling with tears right now, feeling like I'm speaking directly to you, which means it's God speaking through me to you right now. That if I were to ask for a show of hands of who is in that position, there'd be hands all over this room that you feel like, Nick, I am at a breaking point, a boiling point in my personal life, in my family, with my anxiety, with my struggles, with our situation, with the uncertainty, like whatever it may be in your life. And God brought you to church for a simple truth from Psalm 103. He rules over your own life even when it seems chaotic. Let me keep drilling down in that vein, okay? He rules over your family. He rules over your family. Some of you carry deep, deep burdens for your family. You're at odds with your parents. You're at odds with your kids. You have a son or daughter who is away from the Lord. You have a spouse battling addiction. You have a marriage on the rocks. You're a mama who feels deeply for your own kids. Because God's created you to be a nurturer. And when they're not where they need to be, you know, it just gets you in a different way. Psalm 103 teaches us that God rules over your family. When life feels like it's falling apart, here's what I would say. Psalm 103 is an invitation back to God. It's an invitation back to faith. It's an invitation to believe that God really is the one who rules over your family, whether that's your spouse, that's your parent, that's your child, that's your grandchild. Like, God is the one who rules over your friendships and your kids' friendships, which is another big thing, obviously, with all parents. Some of you are holding on to a family situation so tightly that it's like you've got a firm grip on it. And the truth of Psalm 103 should ultimately bring you to a point of, okay, Lord, I trust you with this. Sometimes we just grip it so tightly. And let the word of God, through this power of the Spirit of God, just cause you today just to submit to the Lord, just to surrender afresh again, and just to say, God, I'm just giving this to you. I'm loosening my grip, and I'm turning over control to you in the situation, whatever it may be, okay? So he rules over your family. Let's go on. He rules over your health. No doubt in a crowd like this, in this room and in the lobby and online, there are some of you who've been given diagnosis recently, or somebody in your family has been diagnosed with something and never would have chosen it. Here's what I tell you. He rules over your health. This is a weird concept to think about, but I'll come back to it in a stronger way here in a second. But there's not a thing in your body that has not been sifted through the hand of God. It's not a thing going on in your health that has not been sifted through the hand of God. In other words, the enemy cannot touch you without God consenting to that. You say, I don't know that I believe that. Look back at the life of Job. It's exactly what happened in the book of Job. He rules over your health. Let me give you a third thing. He rules over your future. So you think about those three things together. Family, health, future. Those are the things, and sometimes the primary three things that people worry about in this life at some level. Just think about the future, okay? Anybody else besides the preacher hate the unknown? I hate the unknown. I don't like uncertainty in my life. I don't like uncertainty in my family. Don't like uncertainty here in the church. Don't like uncertainty in other aspects of my life. I just do not like uncertainty. When I don't know how something is going to turn out, that brings a little bit of worry and anxiety to me. Anybody else? When you know the truth of Psalm 103, that God rules over all, it allows you again, anything that happens in my future has been sifted through the hand of God. I read a book back in July, and the book quoted an anonymous quote that I thought applied so well here in Psalm 103. Here's what this anonymous person wrote, okay? They said this, "Remember that by the time the arrows of the enemy strike you, they have come under the permissive will of God. Do not resist, or you may be resisting God's grace and God's will." Talk about a horrible quote that's really good, right? Let me read it to you again. "Remember that by the time the arrows of the enemy strike you, they have come under the permissive will of God." In other words, it has been sifted through the fingers of God. "Do not resist, or you may be resisting God's grace and God's will." How many times does stuff happen in our lives, specifically suffering? And we automatically do this to God. We automatically like keep God at a distance, and we get mad, and we kind of do this to the Lord. The truth of Psalm 103 is a recognition that any kind of suffering that enters my life has already been pre-approved by God. Now, for some of you, that messes up your mindset of God, because you think you serve a God who has promised to never like have you walk through any pain or never make you more like Jesus. But a full biblical understanding of the God of heaven that we're speaking about today informs us that there are times where God will not stop things that you would want stopped through his hand, but he will allow things. We often say this way, like, God knows the end from the beginning. You ever heard somebody say that? God knows what you're going to face 5 years from now, that if he doesn't prepare you in the next 5 years, you're going to crumble. So he's got to allow some stuff to go through. He's got to allow some things to happen in your life. And so here's what I would encourage you. When you're walking through suffering, the question is not, God, where are you? But the question should be this. God, what do I need to see right now? What do you want to do in me right now? That's the real question. I don't know how many of you were at the game yesterday, but I think it's a good illustration of the last three verses. All I'm going to do is just read the last three verses and we're going to be done. Okay? The last three verses of Psalm 103 are a response or a reaction to verse 19, the truth of it, that God is a king who rules over all. Okay, so when the Hogs scored yesterday, I was there. When the Hogs scored yesterday, the crowd did not go, it's an interesting fact about the Hogs. Now, when the dude picked it off and ran it back for pick six, the place went nuts, right? That's what happened. Let's respond to the Lord, okay? Here's the last few verses. Because of verse 19 and everything that we've studied about the Lord, this is our God. Here's how the passage ends. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Remember how the beginning of the passage started? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. So the passage is like at the beginning and at the end, it's all about praising God for who he is. In other words, let me say it to you this way. The appropriate response to the rule of God in your life is to worship. He is a God who rules over all, so bless the Lord. He's a God who rules over your family, so bless the Lord. He's a God who rules over your health, so bless the Lord. He rules over your future, so bless the Lord. He rules over your suffering, so bless the Lord. I wonder how many of you today are at the point that I'm about to describe. You ever heard somebody say, you know, when hard things happen in life, you can get better, you can get bitter. You ever heard anybody say that? Kind of that corny phrase. You can get better or you can get bitter. You know how you flesh that out in a Psalm 103 mindset? When it comes to hard and difficult things in your life, when it comes to suffering in your life, you can fight against the king or you can bow the knee to the king. That's the only two choices. You can fight the king or you can bow the knee to the king. And here's what I'll tell you. You will never experience the fullness of God when you're fighting against the will of God for your life. You will never experience the fullness of God when you hold God at a distance because of suffering that you're walking through. If you ever want the dam to break spiritually in your life, bow the knee to the king. You want to experience the presence of God in your life and let the dam of the presence of God break free in your life. The love and the grace of God, that dam break free in your life, and you want these things to flood your life and flood your soul and flood your everyday life that you live. Bow the knee to the king. For some of you, you're a follower of Christ, that's settled. There's no doubt in your mind about that. But if you're honest with yourself, you have been fighting the will of the king. And today is a day to, even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of things you never would have chosen for yourself, it is a day to bow the knee to the king. And say, God, I never would have chosen this for myself. I never wanted this. I never desired this. I honestly can't believe that I'm at where I'm at, but I bow the knee to you. I stop fighting. I stop gripping and I just let go and I'm gonna let you move. And I'm just asking that the dam of the Spirit of God would break free in my life. And that you would flood my life with the things of God. You flood my situation where I need your grace to step in. You'd flood my life with wisdom from the Holy Spirit. Like, I need a touch from God. Listen, if that's you today, bow the knee to the king. I have no idea what that means for you in your life, but my hunch is that you do know. So would you bow the knee? There are others of you who you're here, and as you hear me talk about this God, maybe you've been here through this whole series and you've heard us talk about the grace and mercy and compassion of a loving Father who created you, knows you, and desires to have a relationship with you. Today is the day for the very first time in your life to bow the knee to King Jesus and be saved. So would you do that today? I'm gonna ask us just to bow our head and close our eyes. Our staff is gonna make their way to the front of each aisle. Those of you in the lobby and overflow, there'll be some of our staff out there with you as well. This staff is here to pray for you. If you're walking through suffering, you're walking through difficulty, and sometimes it's just good to have a brother or sister in Christ just put their arm around you and pray for you. Why don't you come? We'd love to pray for you. Some of you don't need to talk to a soul here, but you just need to come and get on your face at the altar today. You just need to come and just bow at the foot of this stage and you just need to do business with God. Just say, Lord, I'm just bowing the knee. There are others of you, you need to get saved for the very first time, okay? You need to bow the knee to King Jesus. Why don't you come to one of our staff and just say that, I need to get saved today. I need to give my life to Jesus. We'll lead you to faith today. Everybody else in the room, we're going to do just what the passage talked about. We built time in the service for this moment that we would respond to Psalm 103 in worship. We would respond to the rule of God in our lives with worship. So as soon as I pray, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. If you need to respond in any way, this altar's open, our staff is here. If you're in the lobby, you make a decision with the staff out there. Lord, we trust you to do just a special work in our lives, recognizing the rule of God over our lives. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.